Father, we are indeed grateful for the many blessings we have at thine hand, for the many souls that are here that are eager to hear thy word, and we pray that thou wouldst bless their willingness to come and to set aside this day for thee. Watch over us and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text this morning, we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, a short text, but we're going to kind of pick up the chapter before to give you some background. But in the Bible class, before we go to there, in the Bible class, we had learned about Gideon. And if you remember the story about Gideon, how he is chosen by God to deliver Israel, and with 300 men, 25,000 Midianites are routed and taken care of. And we read through chapter 7, verse 23, but in chapter 8, I just want to read three verses there because I think it's important to, it kind of goes right along with this morning's message. So Gideon, he has this great deliverance, and it turns out then, and the men of Ephraim, which is one of the tribes of Israel, say to him, "Why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply." So here, a great work has been done, and the Ephraimites have felt slighted. And they're upset with Gideon, right? "Why didn't you call us? We could have helped you." And Gideon said unto them, "What have I done now in comparison to you? Is it not the gleaning of grapes of Ephraim? Is not the gleaning of grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison to you?" And then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So he basically kind of turned it around and said, No. You're mad at me for maybe going to take care of the Midianites without you, but really, what have I done compared to what you have done?" So he kind of spins it around, and in my mind, you'd think they'd see right through that, but they'd take it to heart, and he answered them wisely. And as we read in Acts chapter 16, we're going to read about Paul and Timothy, and really, we're going to read about the exact same thing. Paul, we know that his ministry is to the Gentiles. We know that as his eyes were opened, as he has become a Christian, as he's converted from Judaism to Christianity, as he's been reaching out to the Gentiles, and really even as he's been learning about the word more perfectly and digging deep and experiencing all these things, and he goes to James and John and Peter, and they agree that James and John and Peter say, "Yes, we'll speak to the Jews, you go to the Gentiles." But, let's read chapter 16, the verses 1 through 3. "Then came he," this is Paul, "to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." So here was Timothy. He had a great reputation. His mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. If your mother was a Jew, you were a Jew. That's how it was reckoned. And so here Timothy was a Jew, but his mother had converted. She was one of the many who believed in that Christ was the Messiah. And then he came and by the prophets foretelling, he had to die. He had to suffer what he had to suffer, but indeed he reigns and is the Messiah. So that was his mother. And Timothy had a good reputation. And Paul, going on in verse 3, him, Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So, his father being a Greek, The Jewish mother couldn't just have her son circumcised. That would have to come with permission from the father. And it was assumed, if not confirmed, that he wasn't circumcised. And this was a very key part of the Jewish law. So when you read verse 3, him when Paul have to go forth with him. Now, Paul wanted Timothy to go, and he took Timothy and circumcised him because of the Jews that were there. And when you read that, it's not a big deal. It's just like, well, he wasn't circumcised. In order to work with the Jews, he's going to need to be circumcised. That's a big red flag for them, and we want to make sure that that's not an issue. But then you have to put it in context with what Paul had just been through. And I'm going to summarize, I'm going to paraphrase chapter 15 for you. And certain men, this is 15 verse 1, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, so this is a very important key. They are making it very plain that you need to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, or you're not saved. You are not saved. You need to be circumcised. And when you read that, it's like, well, okay. But really, it's deeper than that because... Paul and Barnabas hear this. They see these Jews that have come down, and they're saying, yes, indeed, Christ is the Messiah. We're not doubting that, but you need to be saved by circumcision. You need to keep the law. And then Paul and Barnabas dispute with them. It says no small dissension. And as they're discussing back and forth, finally it's like, well, of course, we're not getting anywhere with this. Let's agree to send forth to Jerusalem, right? So now they're about 300 miles kind of northeast from Jerusalem. Let's go down, send some men down to Jerusalem, and let's talk to the leaders down there. Let's talk to Peter and James and John. Let's talk and see what the apostles have to say about this, right? And so they agree to that, and so they make that journey 300 miles down. And when they came to Jerusalem, verse 4, and they came to the church and the apostles and elders and declared all those things, then there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So these are, again, believers, and not all Pharisees were so rejective of the message of Christ. They can see, like Paul saw, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? And as Christ, it took Christ to open Paul's eyes, but many other Pharisees and leaders in the Jewish community turned to Christ. And there were Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needed to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So it wasn't just circumcision. They were insisting, there was a subset of believers that were insisting that in order to be saved, you needed to keep the law of Moses. You needed basically to be a Jew. And this was the discussion at hand. And so as the leaders and the church was discussing this, there was great discussion. If you just read all through, and I'm trying to just summarize it for you. Peter stands up and says, brethren, you remember when I, and he recounts his dream, that when Cornelius was a Gentile, was seeking to be saved, that Peter, at the same time as Cornelius had a dream to send over to Peter, and he sent men, and Peter had his dream about the sheep coming down and clean and the unclean animals, and he's puzzling over this, wondering what it means, and then he's given this message. He says, go downstairs. There are men that are seeking thee. Go with them. Don't be afraid to go with them. They're Gentiles. Go with them. So he goes and comes to Cornelius, and he is made perfectly clear to him that the Gentiles have salvation. So Peter stands up and says a good word, you might say, for Paul and Barnabas. And of course, Paul and Barnabas, they give an account to this to the leadership and to those in Jerusalem how they're going out and the Gentiles are receiving God's word. And then James, this is Jesus' half-brother, that it seems that really he's risen to prominence and he's like the leader there. And it says, James answers and says, men and brethren, Simon Peter has told you what he has to say. And this agrees with the words of the prophets as it is written. And then he quotes Amos chapter 9, where basically he goes back to scripture and says, yes, we have testimony from Peter, we have testimony from Barnabas and Saul, but really we have testimony from scripture that the Gentiles are going to believe. And he makes it, maybe it's not so clear, but he makes it clear that God calls a people out of the Gentiles. Now, if you are a law-keeping Jew, you're not a Gentile already. You're not a Gentile. You're a Jew. And he makes it clear that it's not the Jews that God is calling out from his people. It's the Gentiles. And this is what we're seeing now. And so they all agree that circumcision and, in general, the keeping of the law of Moses is not necessary for salvation. A whole chapter's worth, right? Let's make it clear. This is not the case. Take it back, and they go back, and they travel back, and they send people with them to make it clear wherever Paul and Barnabas are going, back to Lystra and Derbe, that it is not necessary to be circumcised to be saved. And you would think, I would think that that was a big, it is a big deal, right? It's a big deal because it was a mystery unto then, right? Until Christ came, until we have this better revelation how all of the prophecy that was written in the Old Testament has come together in the New, that salvation was going to be for everyone. It wasn't, I shouldn't say, it was prophesied that it was going to be, and now's the time, right? And so you'd think that Paul is on a high. He and Barnabas, they've been successful in getting agreement, and they're thinking the right way. They thought they were thinking the right way. They all go down. They all agree. And it was interesting that what another nice thing was, it's very nice, that even though there's a disagreement, and I'm feeling hot in here. I don't know if the air conditioning went off, okay? But I see some fans going over there, so if somebody can make sure that's on. But Paul and Barnabas had the agreement that indeed you don't have to follow the law. There's a victory. And then right away, Paul goes back to Lystra and Derbe, and he sees now there's Timotheus there, the son of a Jewess, which also believed. And what does he do? He gets him circumcised. And it's almost like there's a contradiction of terms. It's almost like, wait, we just spent all this time, we just spent weeks and maybe months going all through this to make sure that it was clear that you did not need to be circumcised to be saved, and now he's taking Timothy and circumcising him. Is he going backwards? He's not. And I think this is the key, as I read this verse 3, the key here is that Paul and Timothy together, it was not just one or the other. It was the heart of Paul and Timothy. Now, I know that as we read in the scriptures and we have accounts of what went on, and we have accounts of Paul even going to Peter, because Peter, he kind of fell into the same trap, we'll read in Galatians, that Peter was, he knew that the Gentiles were saved, and he was eating with the Gentile believers, and then some believers came that were Jewish and from Jerusalem, and they weren't going to eat with the Gentile believers because they were unclean or for whatever reason, and Peter kind of fell into that trap, and he wouldn't eat with them now, and it caused other people that were Jews and Christians and believed in Christ to also, and Paul says, I had to withstand him to his face because he was in the wrong. Paul was talking to Peter, saying, no, you're missing the point, right? and he opposed them. And sometimes, we have in Scripture, right? Paul was very vehement, very zealous for the Word of God. And even though we see here that he did something soft, let's call it soft, he really cared about, even though his ministry was to the Gentiles, he still really cared about the Jews. And he still really cared about being able to work with the Jews. But once again, when truth was at stake, he had to speak out. Timothy was a Jew with a Gentile father. What a perfect, perfect background to be able to witness to the Gentiles, right? He had the grounding, it says. We have a record that his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois taught him the scriptures from a young child. He had the grounding of the word. And so when it came to be that the preaching was heard and Christ had come and that this word was being spread, he was able to, like Paul, put two and two together and say, yes, Christ is indeed the Messiah. And he had the grounding to be able to say, to become a very useful tool in God's hand. But not just to the Jews, but because he had a Gentile father, he had a heart to reach out to the Gentiles. And you can see how Paul would take him, later in the Bible, it talks about Paul calls him his son, right? Somebody that he was able to nurture and grow up into this ministry. Thank you. But what was the key? The key was that in order to do this, it wasn't for Timothy's salvation, but it was for his ability to be used as a tool. And that's the difference. Even though Paul had talked about so vehemently opposed circumcision for salvation, he did not oppose. Paul did things for the sake of love that he would not do for the sake of trying to please God through legalism. And he was able to discern that. And I think in our lives, this is something that we wrestle with. We realize that we're free, but we feel that, how can I say it? Sometimes we use our freedom, our liberties, to the detriment of those around us. If you think about the people around you, how many people do you interact with every day, right? Well, I can say, well, right here, maybe we have, 70 to 100 people with all the kids and everything. That's maybe our Sunday. And when I go to work, oh, there's hundreds of people there. But really, when I think about it, maybe it's a half a dozen people groups. Like, here's a people group, work is a people group. Maybe our neighbors are a people group, right? It's a half a dozen people groups. Maybe it's 20, 30, 40, 50 different people. And the truth of the matter is, using this as an example, right? Paul and Timothy looked at the people groups that they were working with. They were working with the Jews. They were working with the Gentiles. To the Gentiles, it didn't matter if you're circumcised. It didn't matter if you're uncircumcised. But to the Jews, especially the unbelieving Jews, it made a big difference. And so they made the choice. When I say they, Paul, it was pretty easy. But for Timothy, this involved pain. This involved suffering. This involved something that you need to think about, right? This was not a little thing for Timothy to have to go through. But their heart was such that the souls, the people that they worked with, were important. And this idea of being circumcised, even though in some ways it's a little thing, it was a big thing that enabled Timothy to work very well with all the people groups that he was around, right? And so in our life, I think we need to do that as much as we can. Once again, a lot of times we have the excuse, well, you can't please everybody, right? There is always going to be somebody that's mad at me or not looking at what I do favorably, or I'm making somebody mad. And I'm not really, well, I think that is true in some ways, but really in the people groups that we move in, that we really deal with on a day-to-day basis, I think most of the time you can be that godly person that shows love and compassion. And you're not pushing the buttons, right? You're acting in a way that is loving and kind. And let's just start in our family, right? When you look at the kids, I remember back at the kids when they were growing up, I see it in the grandkids. You know, sometimes they're doing great, and other times, you know, so why did you do that? Well, I just wanted to. You know, they knock each other down, or they're just aggravating to aggravate. And you wonder why. And we, yeah, maybe we attribute it to our sin nature. But maybe they're learning it from us, right? Because sometimes it seems that we aggravate, just to push people's buttons. And that's not what God is wanting us to do. That's not the heart that God wants us to have. When it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, He wants us to be a different type of person than we really are, right? Don't be yourself, be somebody better is the quote, right? The culture of the day is just be who you are. That's the culture of the day. But the culture of the word is don't be yourself, be somebody better. So as we ponder God's word, as we read about Paul and Timothy, as we read about the work that is being done, can we say that all the souls that we interact with, can we say that when they look at us, they can say, there goes a godly man. There goes a godly woman. There goes somebody who cares about me and loves me and has compassion on me, right? There's somebody that will just listen to me. Can people say that about us? I wanted to read the next two verses in chapter 16. So Paul has Timothy circumcised, and as they went through the cities, they delivered up the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles. So these decrees were that circumcision wasn't needed. You don't need to keep the law to be a Christian. And as they go from place to place, they're delivering this message, right? And one of them is, you don't need to be circumcised, even though Timothy is now circumcised. They're delivering up the decrees of the elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And I think that's a very important verse. Because when they put the church first, when they put the body of believers first, when they put the health of the church first over their own wants or desires, when they denied themselves, where they, Timothy especially, took upon himself a little bit of pain and suffering, and he put the churches, the people, the souls in the churches, up front, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. At Eastern Camp, we had a message on revival. Right? How do we have revival? And I think as I ponder upon that, revival implies that something's dead. And maybe relationships are dead or in dire need of rejuvenation. But as we die to ourselves, as we learn humility, when we go back to Gideon, right? Gideon had to humble himself before the Ephraimites to be able to say, look, what I did was nothing in comparison to what you did. When we see here, Paul had to swallow what could have been pride and say, you know, later on in scripture, it talks about Titus who wasn't circumcised, and they didn't make him be circumcised. He had a different role, a different mission. But in Timothy's life, in Timothy's mission, this was for him. In each one of our lives, we have different roles. We have different people we're interacting with. Let's find those things that work for all of them. So none of it's a hindrance, but it's all a blessing to the body, and it's all an honor and glory to God. May God bless his word.